Welcome to Ask the Experts, the program where we pull in members of the community to ask the questions that you want to know. I'm your host, Pastor Evan Gigline, and in today are the guys from Finnish Lion Service Center, located at 202 Park Street, 541-582-3271, Scott and Chris Euler. Guys, welcome to the studios.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We have a lot of questions about cars. I'm sure you guys get hit up all the time, not only on the job, but also off-duty. What's the number one thing a person can do to keep their car in good shape?
I would say, regular checkups. Whenever you get regular oil changes, 3,000 miles, get a good check over. You know your car, you drive it every day. If something feels irregular, just kind of keep in tune with it. And any kind of concerns, take it to your mechanic and let them look it over maybe before you go on a vacation or something like that. And regular maintenance, that's a number one key.
Yep. And another thing, too, is all of our oil changes come with a 21-point inspection, so a lot of those times you can catch anything that might be a little indifferent before it leads to a bigger problem, too. So that's always a big plus.
It's easy to kind of put that in the back of the mind when, something's going wrong, and I know I need to take it in. I'll take it in someday. And those things will eventually unravel and maybe create bigger problems.
Yep. That's right.
For sure. Well, what should a guy look over in his car before he goes out on that trip?
Ooh. Definitely your fluids are a big, big key. You don't want to be going down the road and realize you're a quart low on oil, you have no coolant in your rig, and now you're stranded somewhere with nowhere to go. Definitely hoses, your tires, brakes. I mean, really, pretty much your whole rig is pretty important when you're on the road.
Yeah, too. Normally, where you park your car, just be aware of any kind of, extra stains down there, maybe some coolant or oil drops, get those addressed if they're getting bigger, or just, generally kind of keep an eye, too, outside your car, as that leads to something bigger, too, that you don't realize.
Mm-hmm. In the time right now, temperature's starting to change, some warmer weather. That makes a difference on tire pressure. What should I be looking for as the temperature gets weather on their tire pressure?
Definitely, temperature changes affect tire pressures. So a lot of the new cars have what they call TPMS sensors in your car that let you know the tire pressure. But older cars, always, you should have those checked whenever you do fuel up your car. Check your tire pressure always. I mean, that's a big factor in fuel mileage and tire wear. So that is a good point.
Yep. And if people are trying to take care of their car themselves and change the oil, maybe someone's not used to how to do this. What are the different kinds of oil and what are the advantages of different kinds of oil?
Yeah, a lot of your rig is going to tell you what type of oil to use. And really, that is usually the way to go, is the specific of your vehicle. You can always go with more of a synthetic blend. You can go a little longer on that oil. It's got more additives to it. But it's always best to go with what's recommended with your vehicle, unless you do feel like you want to go with more of a synthetic blend or a full synthetic, especially once your rig starts hitting that kind of higher mileage point, might be a good idea to start going to more of a synthetic blend. It's a little bit better for motor and motor life and those types of areas.
If I start to use a synthetic oil, do I need to kind of stay with a synthetic oil or can I go back?
You can go back.
That's a falsity. You can change at any time. It's not good to mix it. So if you're with a conventional oil, add conventional oil. If you decide next oil change you want to go synthetic or synthetic blend, you can fully change that. So just stay with that. If you change to a synthetic blend, make sure when you add oil, you add a synthetic blend.
Okay. You don't want to be mixing it.
You don't want to mix it. Right. You want to keep your weights the same. If you go with a 530, something like that, stay with that weight of oil also.
Okay. So. Are the oil weights specific to the engine, or is there variances depending on performance issues?
Yeah, the manufacturer spec will tell you. Normally it'll say it on the oil cap. If not, consult the manual, but a lot of new cars are like a 520, some are 040, so it is definitely manufacturer specific to that engine. So you don't, something that's take a 020, you don't want to go put a 10 weight 30 in it. So definitely look at your manual first.
Okay. Are there any real advantages to buying premium gasoline? I know some cars require premium gasoline, but if my car doesn't, do I get better gas mileage by getting a premium gasoline in it?
No, actually you know, most cars now are built to the normal pump gas, which is a normal regular. Some cars do require premium, and that will also show in your owner's manual what octane to put in it. But for all intents and purposes, the older cars can run off pump gas. It was like an 87 octane, so you don't really have any more. I mean, there's a little more advantage. Maybe older cars, you can run premium in it, but my opinion is the advantages that you're paying extra for the gas outweighs your benefits of what you get in the tank. So,
Did you have anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah, you know, like a lot of turbo cars, they require you strictly premium. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the times when you have to use it, but regularly it's kind of not a necessity.
What about ethanol additives, things like that? Would that be harder on an older car, something like that? Do I need to get ethanol-free gas?
Yeah, maybe on a classic car. A lot of cars back then had leaded gas, so the engine was built with, you know, that lead used to cool the engine. So if you do have an older car that hasn't been updated with the newer valves and stuff, then you probably want to find a leaded gas. But your newer, like E10s, there's E85s out there. All cars now built, you know, are built to withstand the E10 rating. E85 is a different story. You have to consult your manual. If you're out of state, some out of states offer E85, so you can't put E85 in an E10 vehicle. In an older vehicle, you'll ruin the motor. So consult your manual, too, on what you can run. Some, it'll tell you it's a flex-fuel car, which you can run like an E85. So.
And I'm not even sure, do they sell E85 around here?
No, it's all E10. Back east, you'll find a lot of E85 and more corn gas in it. So
yeah, probably states like Iowa and things like that, where there's an advantage to it.
Yeah. A lot of corn back there.
What about fuel additives? Is there useful for these?
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, it's a good idea to run some fuel cleaner every once in a while in a tank. It's not good for it's good for preventive maintenance, but it's not going to be a fix-all. You know, you start having running rough problems and stuff like that, it's not going to immediately fix anything, but it's good for a maintenance to help keep the fuel system clean.
Yeah.
A good brand to use is Seafoam. Seems to be a really good one to use. Good quality product.
Great.
Use that one a lot.
Good. Now, I know you guys have been in the business for how many years?
I've pretty much been in all my life. We've came up here in 05, so we've owned this auto shop for 12 years now.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you've been doing it all your life.
Yeah.
You guys are great workers and honest. And, you know, some people taking their car to a mechanic, and you don't know what the mechanic's saying. You know, you got to change the defibrillator or whatever else, and you don't even you're going to have to take their word for it. You know, refill the blinker fluid, this kind of thing, you know.
Yep, the exhaust bearings.
How can I be sure that what my mechanic wants to replace actually needs to be replaced?
It's a good question. What we like to do is every job we do when we replace a part, we like to keep that part on our bench and we like to show the customer. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, this is what we changed. This is what it looks like. This is how it works. And this is why yours isn't working properly. So it gives that customer that good visual of, okay, I understand why that part had to be replaced. Because no, I totally get why sometimes you can be a little bit leery about what's being replaced, especially with something that could be so expensive. So it's kind of handy to always keep those parts there before the customer picks up their vehicle, mm-hmm. so you can kind of show them what's going on.
Should a skeptical customer ask to see the part that the mechanic wants to replace?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're ever in question, you know, just ask. Hey, when we're done with the job, I want you to save all the parts. That way you're sure that the mechanic did do the work, number one. Number two, you have the opportunity to go over with him what did you change and why did you have to change it, you know. And it's a lot easier, like Chris said, to visually see what you've done and the work involved with changing that part. So, I mean, they may not understand all the dynamics of it, but you can kind of get the gist of at least you feel like you've gotten educated a little bit and you can understand a little bit what you're paying for. So,
sure. Yep. I mean, you guys work on all different kinds of cars. Is there an advantage sometimes for a customer to take the car to the dealer and let the dealer work with it, or what do you think on that?
There are times when actually a lot of newer cars are getting really computer related, and sometimes it could be something as simple as reflashing the computer, just like your home computer sometimes needs a reset. And unfortunately, a lot of that software is only capable through the dealer. So there are times with some computers and things like that where they have to go to the dealer, But typically we try everything we can to keep it where we can do them. But there are times where, unfortunately, you know, we can't do it and it does have to go to the dealer.
Sure.
But it's usually a software-related issue or computer issue.
Okay. What expenses am I maybe looking at when my car hits 100,000 miles?
Yeah, 100,000, 60 and 100 are your big ones. So, you know, people are real in tune with, okay, the industry standard is 3,000 on your oil changes. So people tend to be pretty good about their oil changes, but when it comes to fluids like your transfer cases, your rear, front and rear differentials, your transmission, your power steering fluid, your brake fluid, all those come due at around that time, and it's just part of maintenance. You know, they kind of forget about all the other fluids. I mean, there's 10, 12 different fluids in your car. So those, you know, the longer you go on the fluid, the dirtier it gets, and it's going to break down. So there are 100,000 miles, tune-ups, you know, a lot of tune-ups. It's time to do spark plugs, wires, whatever the car at that mileage is usually a big one. So, yeah.
Okay. As you guys see all kinds of cars come into the shop, what's the maybe the number one repair that you do at your shop?
Ooh. You know, that's a good question. We work on so many things, and you know, everything on a vehicle is mechanical, so it's hard to pinpoint down to one thing we do. Often, you know, it's funny at the shop because I feel like when we do one job at the top, we might be doing a coil on a 5.4 Triton. It seems like you do a full week of those, and then next week it might be a water pump and you're doing tons of those.
It's the water pump week.
Exactly. You know, yeah, something like that. You know, it's different every day. I wouldn't really pinpoint down to one specific thing we always change because it feels like it could change in a heartbeat. But
last week's been front end week. We did like three front ends, just all joints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But one big thing we do change a lot of, though, that just off the top of my head is the coils on a 5.4, like Ford F-150s have them, those Triton motors. We do a lot of coils on those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any particular job come to mind?
Yeah, with me, like I said, it was front end. So a lot of front end things around here. I do notice that, you know, we live in the mountains, and a lot of people live on dirt roads, potholes. Mm. Yeah. So we do a lot of ball joints in the front end work because it gets, you know, they get beat up.
Clutch repair?
We do a lot of clutches, transmissions. You know, a lot of it, too, a lot of things that I see do come down to a lot of maintenance things, you know. I mean, people, like you were stating earlier, they'll put it off, kind of like going to the dentist. I don't, you know, I know I got a cavity, but I'm going to work it as long as I can. And then you get that time where it just lets go on you. So, you know, maintenance is a big factor. So
sure.
Keep that in mind.
Now, someone's in the market for a new car. They're looking for something reliable. I'm sure you guys get this question a lot. What is there a particular car you can recommend or a brand of car?
You know, nowadays it's a matter of preference, I think. I can't really pinpoint one thing to say I wouldn't buy that. I mean, you know, I think that's why there's so many different manufacturers, with the different likes for different people. So, you know, I mean, it's come a long way. Technology's come a long way. So, you know, it's a matter of preference. And just the only thing I say is just, you know, do a little shopping around. Don't just go to one place that you have your mind set on. Just weigh all your options and pick out what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. And always, you know, especially if you're buying something used, I would always recommend getting it checked out before you buy it. Have it looked over with a fine-tooth comb. Just make sure everything's, you know, up to spec so you're not buying somebody else's problem. You know,
if I'm buying a used car, there's some brands that have been assumed by companies. I don't know. There's probably a list, but I'm thinking like Pontiac. I don't think they're even around anymore. Mm-hmm. But I want to avoid buying a used car like that. Are those parts hard to find these days?
Yeah, there are some cars that, you know, just us being in the business that we see a lot of. That's why, like Chris says, it's a good idea to take it to your mechanic, whatever you're planning on buying used. You know, you're going to spend a little money, but if it has over 100,000 miles, I suggest getting a compression check. I mean, just really check it out well. You're going to spend a few hundred dollars, but in the long run, it's going to save you a lot. Yeah, I mean, it could save you from buying a car that you're going to be putting an engine in or something like that. So, I mean, I definitely would recommend having it checked out by your mechanic for sure.
And there's also kind of the dividing line between, you know, domestic-made cars and foreign-made cars. you know, are parts more expensive for the foreign cars?
They actually can be. It does seem like that, especially once you get into European. That's when you definitely parts I do find to be a little more spendy than the American cars. Toyota, Honda, they seem to be pretty comparable. But there are some, you know, Toyota parts that might be a little more spendy. But definitely European, you're going to kind of get in the higher money vehicles.
Is there a payoff with those more expensive parts? I mean, do you see them less in the shop or is it about the same?
Well, parts-wise, I mean, there is a variance in any time you put in a part on a car. I mean, there is a range. I mean, so, you know, you may have three choices, and the price is different for a reason. So there is a better quality part that you're putting on your car as far as, you know, something new, European versus American. I mean, a luxury car is luxury for a reason. There's a lot more expensive parts on it, so you're going to pay more. You are going to pay more. Yep. You know, so keep that in mind, too, when you shop for a car.
Sure. Yep. Now, if there's a handful of things that someone might want to keep with them at all times, make sure they don't end up on the side of the road, what are some things you'd recommend people to have with them at all times?
Yeah, definitely make sure you have a jack that you can use. I actually, after my wife and I got married, this is a good story. But, her parents were basically, yeah, you go ahead and take our car. No big deal. You know, and so we're like, okay, that's cool. And it had some aftermarket wheels on it. Well, this was the day after we got married, we're heading up for a honeymoon and, you know, I'm sure, you know, God was testing me like, hey, let's see how your husband rolls, kick into play here, you know? And, well, sure enough, we get a flat and I'm like, that's no big deal. I'll just change it out. We'll be good to go. Well, so I, go in their trunk to get the, you know, the tools they have in there. Well, sure enough, they're not the right tools to fit those aftermarket wheels. Mm. So I ended up having to, you know, baby it into a Les Schwab, had to stay the night in some little town. And so it's definitely always just, really important to always make sure that the supplies you have work with your vehicle, because you definitely don't want to be stuck on the side of the road, you know, making sure you, I always recommend carrying extra fluid with you, whether that be some oils, coolant, just so you, that might, it can help you get to the nearest place to get the car repaired. Mm-hmm. At least you can get you off the side of the road. But definitely a proper jack, the right tools to get lug nuts off. Those are all just really important things that'll, you know, save you a lot of time. And, you know,
jumper cables.
Yeah. Yes. Just anything that'll keep you, you know, from being stuck there as long as you need. So.
I don't know, Chris. I think that was your chance to pull a MacGyver moment and show us how to maybe the knight in shining armor on your honeymoon.
I was trying to show off, you know, show off my manly stuff, but it didn't end up getting to work out that way. So.
Well, that's probably a story you'll be telling the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. It's a good story now. So.
Very good. We've been talking with Chris and Scott from Finish Line Service Center. They're located at 202 Park Street, and their phone number is 541-582-3271. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us, guys.
You've been listening to Ask the Experts on 94.3 The Bridge, a program where we invite experts from our community in to ask questions that you want to know. If you'd like to suggest an expert that we need into our studios to ask your questions to, just let us know. Send us an email. Email address is feedback@943thebridge.com, feedback@943thebridge.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at our voicemail system. That toll-free number is 1-844-51-FAITH, 1-844-51-FAITH. If you'd like to listen to our past episodes of Ask the Experts, just visit our website, 943thebridge.com. 943thebridge.com, point to the tab that says audio, and click on Ask the Experts. Thanks for listening to this edition of Ask the Experts. We'll talk to you again next week, Friday at noon, on 943 The Bridge.